All right, turn to your Bibles again. Once we're looking at Luke 18:1. If you're with us from last week, I guess half the crowd's gone downstairs. We've got to thank God for the youth. You know, a church that has a young church like that, and it's good to have the youth because they're the future. So you're in good hands in the church. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Lord. Let's go and look at the scriptures. I'm glad the Bible is true. Okay. All right, let's go. Overcoming offenses. That's what we looked at last Wednesday. Overcoming offenses, or this is number two. It might be actually one and a half because we didn't finish last time. We're going to talk about, last week we talked about, I'll review it in a minute, don't get caught in the devil's trap. Don't get caught into the devil's trap of offense. And we read Luke chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus said, it's impossible that offenses will come. It's impossible that no offense should come, the King James says. And so tonight we want to talk about how to develop a good strategy to defend ourselves from offense. So developing a great offense or defense. Developing a great defense against being offended. So Jesus said it's impossible, Luke 17:1, that offense should not come. And I wanted to read the other translations. Let me just look here. The English Standard Bible says the temptation to sin is sure to come. I guess referring to offense, but the New Living Translation puts it this way. There will always be temptation, you know, to have offenses. The Young's Literal Translation says it's impossible that stumbling blocks should not come. And so we're looking at this whole thing here. Now, we asked you questions last time. If you have ever been taken in the trap of offense, you know it can be a very difficult situation when you're offended, when you're offended, an offended person, or you were offended. We need to understand that offenses are inevitable. They will come your way no matter how loving of a person you are or how holy you will walk, because Jesus said they're going to come. So these offenses come without any warning. And I said that we did a training session on Sunday night. I think we had about almost 50 people here last night for the training, Wednesday night training for the leaders. And we talked about some things that was needful for us. We said that of course, it goes with any helping profession. We said helping and serving can be detrimental to your health if you're not trained. Like a lot of people say, I want to help, but they don't receive any instruction how to prepare themselves mentally, how to employ good strategies. Working with people, how to prepare themselves emotionally when people offend them. Are you going to react every time somebody that you think somebody is acting a little differently? Are you going to say something to bite them? You know, like if you bite me, I'll bite you back. And some people actually have a, I don't know how you would say it, like a you know, their spirit actually is already in a big defense, or they're acting like they're offended already, even before you even try to talk with them. So they walk around in a big defensive mode. So they're not open to people, and so they're hard to work with. So when they say they want to help people, they're not prepared mentally. They're not prepared emotionally for to be soft and pliable. When somebody says something, they're not going to get offended. It's going to be like water off a duck's back. So they're just going to walk away. They're not going to be hurt from that situation and walk away with more scarring and more proof that the fact that people hurt you. And listen to me, when you're working with people, you're going to be hurt. I said, I'm going to say that again. When you work with people, you're going to be hurt. And you have to realize that that's why we have the training sessions, is that you're going to be prepared emotionally. You're not going to take everything like they're against you, because they might be hurt already when they come in. They might be having a hard day, and you happen just to be there, and they kind of take it off on you. And that's a good helper understands that, you know, they understand the, you know, that whole environment and so on, that whole dynamic. And so you have to be prepared. So when you're working in church, everybody is a volunteer, and we're all here because God brought us together and so on. A lot of people quit. So these offenses will come without any kind of warning. Sometimes they appear when you least expect it. People get offended sometimes through misunderstanding or misinformation. Well, I thought you all were nice people. Not everybody in church is a nice person. And we should all wear t-shirts that says under construction. Because God is building us. God is developing us. And just because a pastor is a pastor doesn't mean he's fully developed. If God had to wait for a pastor to be fully developed completely, he'd be waiting a long time. He'd still be waiting now. And he put somebody in there. Thank God that there's grace for everything, right? So don't be overtaken in the fact that some of your friends can offend you. So we want to talk about how to prepare ourselves, and let's just kind of review a couple of things before we head up down that road. So we said two things are for sure in life. Two things are for sure. One is taxes. Two is death. Everybody is going to get a tax. Going to pay taxes every year. And if you're not, you need to start paying taxes. Number two, everybody's going to die in this room. I want to mention it right now, so if you're surprised you're dying, everybody's going to die. We are expected to live long lives and without any pain and suffering. And you can believe God, you have scripture for that. That you don't have to die, suffering all your life for 20 years and then dying. You can just go to sleep and die. Or sit there and just go to heaven. We have scripture for that. We can believe God for that. The third thing, you can add on there, you can add one more thing beside the two that's mentioned that's for sure. It's temptations or offenses. We can add that. Jesus said it. That temptations are going to come your way. Are you here? Everybody say offenses are going to appear. Say it depends on what I do or how I react to the situation. So they're going to come. These stumbling blocks are going to come. These stumbling blocks or temptations or offenses are called, they're actually stumbling blocks. They are hindrances to your destiny. They'll hinder you. They'll stop you from going on with God or getting God's best in life. Because if you're going to live hurt all your life, you're going to miss God. If you choose to live with a wounded spirit, when God says healing is available for you, you're at fault for not getting healed. Because you don't want to be healed. You want to stay mad You want to stay in resentment? It's up to you. I talked to some of my friends, and they said, you know what, I forgive. I went on, and I can see them. They're really happy, and they're succeeding. They got money in their pocket. They're not sick. They're mentally alert. They're happy. But there's some people, they're just walking around with a wounded spirit, waiting for the next one to offend them. I better move on. And so, the New Living Translation says, there will always be. So this particular, this offense is a trap. Offenses are traps set up by the enemy. Okay? In fact, the original language mentions that this word from the original language means a trap. Everybody say, offenses are traps. Remember, if you're going to keep on your hurts and your all your little feelings and that, so they're a trap. It's a trap. You'll have to expect that they'll be there, but you're going to expect to overcome it because you're going to be prepared for it. So it's not going to be such a shocking experience. In other words, having being offended can be a shocking surprise for some. Because why? Because you're not prepared. You weren't taught. You haven't got to the Word. And these offenses are not good for your comfort. They're not good for your comfort because they get in your way. You know, as God's children, we don't have to be overtaken by it. And God gives us a remedy. Jesus told us, forewarned us, that it's impossible that these offenses from Satan would come. So he'll try to take you into this trap and cause you to stumble and fall, and you have to be prepared for it. And so it'll come through your immediate associations or interactions with people, particularly in the church. The devil hates it when the church is strengthened in unity. Because a church that's strengthened in unity, or if you have unified marriage, there's nothing that can stop two married people from going on with the things of God. When you're married and you believe the Bible, you pray together, you believe God for different things, it's such a great experience to have a believing husband or wife. If you don't, thank God that you can do something about it. Amen? Some people are married, they're not unified in their home. So don't feel bad if you don't have a husband right now, Sharon. I know that she's looking at me right now. Waiting for her husband to come. There he is right there. No, I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding. I love Sharon. Sharon is such a wonderful lady. I'm praying for her. You single yet? One of my students at the college, every time I see her, you're still single, eh? I'm believing God for you. She says, eh? You said that these northern ones, eh? It depends how you say eh. Yeah, you go, ah. If you do that, then you're from 58. Okay. This is just kind of a joke, right? I hope you don't take it that seriously. Yeah. That's what happens when you have a native pastor. You got all these kind of cultural things. Okay, so through your association, the devil hates it when you have unity, and he likes to disassociate you and hold you in isolation so that you'll be vulnerable to more attacks. So he gets you into this trap, then he'll get you hypersensitive so that you'll be waiting for more attacks that, you know, just to prove the fact that everybody is against you. And you'll see everything like that, colored in the same way, in the same tradition you were hurt in the first place. So he'll keep you captive as long as he can hold you. Some people are held there for most of their life. They're still in the trap. They're still mad at somebody from 1967, 1952. They're still married. and they're still angry at somebody because their mom and dad were offended, so they transfer that offense onto themselves because that family over there has offended them, so they're still hanging on to it. That's crazy. So his ultimate plan in this whole area is to separate you from the house of God so that you don't fulfill your destiny where God wants you. God wants you. It's funny, you know, we've met people. I mean, I've met through people, even through social media. They don't believe in church, or some people who actually are in church. Some ministers that like to preach that are ministers, they're not pastors, but they're ministers, and they like to call themselves pastors. They don't believe in a local church, but they want to preach in a local church. Or they want to hold a Bible study. But they don't want to be... What is that? They don't be accountable for what they're teaching or whatever. And some people say, there's no... You know, we don't need a local church anymore. We don't need pastors. But Ephesians 4 is there. It says that we need pastors. We need church. Till Jesus comes, it says. I don't know when he took that out. Okay, so we define the word offense in Luke 17:1 from the Greek word, which is scandalon, which refers to a part of a trap in which a bait is attached to. Hence, the term signifies laying a trap for someone, laying down a trap. The New Testament describes the word as, you know, in that idea, entrapment. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. Let's go look at that. Paul's instruction to a young man, a young pastor who was dealing with many, many people, in his second letter, reads as follows. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. What does the word quarrel mean? Argue? You know, you have an argument with someone. So it tells pastors or leaders, don't argue with people. If you're head of a department, don't argue with them. Show them the door. Your workers, you'll have no workers left. Okay, so you must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Not just your favorite people, but all, gentle to all. Able to teach, patient, and all humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps would grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare. Everybody say snare. That word snare in the Greek means entrapment. Entrapment of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. In other words, the devil, he likes to set up snares or traps for people. The Bible says most people are unaware they're into it or to get into that. And that's why we need constant refreshing in the Word of God, constant quickening in our spirit to be, you know, sensitive to the things of God. So that word there, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, the word scandalon literally means a stick trap. A movable object or a trigger in which when it's moved, the one who is trying to trap the victim lays that there, and somebody goes there and he's entrapped in that. We use that monkey illustration. Remember that monkey illustration? You know, they said it like a monkey. I'm not sure if this is true or not, but they say if a monkey, if he sees a shiny object in something, he put his hand in there. And he'll grab that, he won't let his hand, he wouldn't let go until he grabs that thing. I don't know if monkeys are that smart, but don't monkey around with those kind of things. So he'll grab that until he doesn't get his hand out of there, and the guy can come by and grab that monkey. Don't be the monkey crap. Don't be the monkey trapped in there. Trapped in there. So a couple of things to keep in mind with offended people. They're coming in two categories. For, number one, those people who've been unjustly treated. There's people you've been unjustly treated. It's up to you whether to be offended. Yeah, you have been unjustly treated by someone. Someone did something to you, and it wasn't good, and you didn't do anything to get it, to, you know, have that whatever happen to you, but you've been offended. It does happen in church. Someone just does something. But then again, it's up to you to walk in love. If that person offends you, just say, you know what, I'm going to forgive you. You know what? If we don't see eye to eye, then maybe we shouldn't be working together right now, but I'll just go on this side of the room. You don't have to work with that person. We can put you in another department until you guys grow up. And, you know, you understand that, so you're going to have problems like that. Doesn't mean you have to quit the church. Listen, I had a meeting yesterday with the pastor of the city. We sat around. I've been meeting with the pastor for 20 years. I'm probably one of the oldest guys there. Not age-wise, there's a few people older than me. There's a couple guys, like I'm probably the one of the older senior pastors. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to prevent offended people from traveling from church to church. And that's the problem in the city, is that people leave one church, you get one person from a family leave, then you got a whole pile of people, the whole family leaves. Not only their whole family, but the family's friends, they all leave. And so they go to another church until somebody else get offended again, and then they move to another church. Now, I've been pastoring here for closer to 30 years, and I've seen people that I personally know that has gone to church 5 years, 10 years, some maybe, 15 years, one church, and then all of a sudden they're going to other churches because they can't get along with somebody. Yeah, maybe they've been offended. But that doesn't mean you have to move. And so we're trying to help this process and help people grow up in the city. And help us to go on with the things of God. So we've been working together as pastors, and we're not trying to, steal everybody's sheep. Like, if somebody wants to leave, leave. Yeah, go ahead. Well, we want to bless you. Go to another church. If you can be a better citizen of the kingdom of God in that church, you can give more money. You can pray more, serve more, give more time to the things of God, be nicer person. Then you ought to go to that church. But most of the time, they don't. And so we want to help the kingdom of God. And this whole thing is hurting the church. It's not making the church grow. The church is not growing in the city. All that's happened in the city is that people just go to another church. And they're just congregating in one or two churches in the city. And that church is getting most of the people there. Or a few of them are getting more because, whatever draws people naturally speaking, they get drawn naturally to certain people. Not because they're called somewhere, because whatever natural things draws people together. So there are people who genuinely get offended. And they've been hurt legitimately by somebody. And if a pastor is a tyrant, that person needs to be dealt with. If he's stealing money, using money without the board's consent and without the church and getting the church in the hole, then, I mean, if he doesn't have skills, maybe he needs some help, but if he's doing it to steal, then it's a problem. Or if a pastor is teaching things that are not in the Bible, then somebody has to deal with him, his pastor, his own pastor, and who governs him, right? Or if he's having relationship with all the single women in the church, that would be immorality, right? Then you'd have to get rid of him too. Why am I talking like this? Because things do happen in churches. Praise God. We don't want you to go home yet. We're getting started there. Wait till we get to your place, to your situation. We're going to deal with everything, right? So here's the second one. We said people have been legitimately have been offended and hurt. Second group is those people who've been treated, who believe, the word is believe they have been treated unfairly, and they think they've been unfairly treated. There's too many LYs in my notes here. It's been one of those days. It's nice that you can laugh at yourself. You know, when I was young, I said, oh, what if I made a mistake? I think about that all night. But you get a little older, you get to think about it, you know. You get to laugh at yourself a little bit and take yourself so seriously and go and kill yourself after you made a mistake. That's what happened in the Bible. You see that stuff, kind of stuff in the Bible. So we're not against, you know, there's people who have problems with demonic influences in their lives, and they need to show, you know, help themselves get out of it. So every one of us need to be ready. We need to be ready. Sometimes our tongues gets us in trouble. We talked about something like this. How can you tell if you've been in some kind of trap like this or been offended? It's because people are not getting over things. Sometimes you can pick up offense by listening to somebody else. If somebody else is mad at somebody, and you listen to them all the time, pretty soon, you hear that, all of a sudden you're mad at that person too. Look at them, you've never even met them, never talked to them, but you all of a sudden you're mad at them. Because you're taking their offense. You're taking that your friend's offense. Now you're mad at that person you never had a chance to even know about. I told you about this one incident, and those of you who've been in the church, I was at a conference, and I was speaking at a conference, and it was a good conference. And after the conference, and someone was waiting for me out there, and they said, you know, can I just talk to you for a bit? I said, sure, sure, you know. Conference, have a great time. He said, you know what, I want to just say something to you. I was offended of you for so long because I heard so many bad things about you. But since hearing you this weekend, you know, I like you. See, I mean, you hear what I'm saying? Because you can take offense. Your own mother or your own sister can talk about things about somebody else, and all of a sudden, because they're your relative, then you start taking that on. You need to challenge your parents sometimes, or your brother or sister or whatever, friend. Say, hey, is that really true? That might have happened to you, maybe just one-time thing. Okay. So, how can you tell? You might feel jealous of that person. Always jealous of that person, especially when they're getting blessed. When you hear about their name being mentioned, you kind of feel uncomfortable. Huh? You get, start to shake, start to sweat, start turning green. You start backbiting those people or backbiting that organization, backbiting. I know people that sometimes they phone me, they're backbiting an organization in the city, saying about all the staff there, and everybody else is rotten in there. And especially among the native organizations, they're fighting each other, some of their people. Some of the white organizations, too. I mean, you hear people say different things. So, and you, if you hear yourself rehearsing wrongs about someone, you may feel like you want to vindicate yourself. And you want to get back at them. Somehow, some way. You're going to get a chance one day. What goes around comes around. I'm going to get my chance. Or you're hanging around with people who are offended, as I mentioned, and you surround yourself by you know, the church of the offended people. And you start offending that, going to that church, and you get, every once in a while you get together, and you rehearse all your hurts. Is this true? Start thinking about it. Thou art offended. Your favorite song. So you hang out with people of God, you tear up people, tear up churches, tear up different things, prayer groups, and so on. And, you know, the devil wants you to stay there as long as he can keep you there. So that's, I cannot go on with the same message. So what is an offense? We mentioned that before. Let me just give you another dictionary meaning. An offense means to be in violation of a social or moral rule. It can refer to a cause of a transgression or wrong, something that that displeases, a feeling or resentful displeasure, an act of attacking or assault. Scripturally, an offense means to be entrapped by a snare of which you were not aware of. And the Holy Spirit will show you things in your own heart where you've been offended. And if you stay there and don't think, you don't want to deal with it, it'll stay there as long as you allow it. And sometimes take you further. It usually refers to some kind of incident which you had an occasion to be hurt in some way or another through a certain incident or a situation experience or through a person. Satan goes around trying to get you into a trap of not forgiving other people for the hurts they committed against you, or the perceived hurt. Whether you've been hurt legitimately or you've been perceived to be hurt is still an offense. The Bible says that Satan goes about as a roaring lion looking for an opportunity to hurt or destroy you in 1 Peter 5:8-9. If offense has the power to hurt or destroy us, we need to know how to prevent this thing from happening to our own lives. So we need this. We need a good defense against it. In sports, it's often said that a great defense is a good offense. We can discover how we can defend ourselves from with an opponent. We usually, if we can find out how to defend ourselves, we can usually win a game. The Bible says there will be all kinds of trials and adverse circumstances that will come our way, so we need to develop a good defensive system. Defending against offense keeps us healthy and on track serving God, His purposes and plans for our lives, instead of always trying to be overly sensitive and hypersensitive about hurts and pains that we've suffered. So when you're walking around lame, you're no good to anybody. You're not going to take chances. So God wants you to have faith to go on, and no matter what hurt it is, you're going to move on. You're going to be strong. You decide that right now. Not when the situation comes and you're going to think about it, I'm going to pray about it. No, you got to do it right now. You got to decide, no, I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to live by the Word of God. So you have to be able to hold yourself in check. Defending against offenses keeps us healthy and on track. So some people seem to be more prone to offenses. Mark chapter 4, verse 16 to 17 says, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Some people are mad at God because what they thought would happen didn't happen to them. They think they followed the word as closely or perfectly as they should, when in fact they didn't. The Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. They're not eating the good of the land because they were not willing, or they were not obedient. One or the other, or both. both of them. Willing is the ability to be able to be corrected all the time, no matter what. And open to God, to whatever God wants you to have. We'll have God's best if we're allowing the Lord for us to be pliable. The Bible declares that when we are not into the Word of God regularly, we'll end up getting trapped into offenses because there's no foundation of God's Word in the heart to protect you against the enemy. He'll try to get the Word out of you immediately when you leave church. He'll be waiting out there in the car somewhere, sitting in the back, telling you, don't believe that pastor. I don't know about that guy. There'll be all kinds of trials and troubles that come your way in life so that you have to be in God's Word continually to protect against anything. We have to hear God's Word on a daily basis, feeding ourselves, feeding our own spirits, not drift away, be grounded in the Word of God so we can apply the principles of God's Word against the onslaught of the enemy. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that there are things called the works of the flesh. They're not necessarily the devil present, but our flesh is going to want to do its own thing. Many believers need to be quick to follow their spirits, their recreated human spirits, not be moved by feelings. When Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, he said they were reacting by their human senses. So be quick to forgive people when you're offended. Be quick. One general way to keep protected is to walk by the love of God in our hearts. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When we stay close to the Holy Spirit and He's giving us the Word, God will strengthen us against the offender or the offense that come your way. You're not going to be so sensitive. The Bible says we always believe the best of people. Love always forgives. The church at Ephesus was encouraged always to be humble and gentle. Be patient and kind to one another, making allowance for one another in Ephesians chapter 5. So, we need to defend ourselves by having a plan. Let me just give you four things before we close to protect yourself, to defend ourselves against the attacks of being offended. Number one, as I read to you earlier, Psalm 119, verse 65 says, in nothing shall offend them. When we stay in the Word of God, if you use the Word of God as your source of foundation, you won't let anything offend you. You'll be always going and referring to the Word of God instead of resorting to your own feelings or what you think about it. Psalm 119 and verse 65 says that nothing will offend you. Nothing will get you off. When you're feeding on the Word of God daily, constant prayer, it's not impossible. It's not possible to keep offenses. You know, when you're praying every day, it's hard to pray to God and be in sweet fellowship with God without Him telling you there's something wrong in your life. That's why I say if you're praying every day, if you're quick to pray, you're always in constant contact with the Lord. He's going to talk to you about different things and be honest and open to God. Some people are always worried about what other people think or say about them, even through the social media and what we have on the internet. There's lots of opportunity out there to be offended if you're having social media. All kinds of things going on, even speaking against your church or your kind of church or your kind of favorite preachers, and you take offense of that. Listen, that's going to happen all the time. You just have to make up your mind. You're not going to let that happen to you. You're going to stay with the Word of God. Secondly, be filled. Make sure you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I was talking about people that we've been talking a lot about losing weight lately. I don't know, this time of the year, we talk about losing weight. I noticed that my clothes are getting smaller. You know, I was slimmer. You know, we tend to wear bigger clothes when that happens. You know, oh, I got this big thing here, I'm going to wear this, cover up all the whatever. And we were talking about that the other day. And I'm driving down the road, the Lord checked me. And I was thinking about, you know, what kind of a little diet plan could I have for the last 2-3 days? The Lord says, you know, he said to me, you know everything about losing weight already. You have all kinds of knowledge about nutrition, diet, exercise, rest, attitudes. The only thing you're missing is discipline. You don't discipline how much you put something to your mouth. And how to say, every one of you is the same way. It's called self-control. Everybody says self-control. No one's forcing you to be fat. Nobody's forcing you to eat all that food. A lady told me the other day, believe it or not, oh, but some people have fat bones. This is a serious thing that they said to me. I've never seen anybody with an x-ray. Oh, they got fat bones. No, I'm not mad at anybody. I just, you know, we used to talk about smokers, but they seem to move into another church, so I have to get to somebody here. My wife and I, we talk a little about that. We, you know, she was 112 pounds, 117 pounds, but it mattered. I can't say the same thing with myself. I gained weight too. But I can't be on her. I got to be on myself, right? So anyway, but you do get bigger as you get older. Except Archie. Archie is the same way when he got married before. I know he's just as slim as ever, beautiful. Anyway, he's got skinny bones. That's the reason why he's like that. I don't know why. Anyway, let's move on very quickly. The number three one, we could say a little bit more about this. Number three is a good one. This is number three, right? Okay, number three is choose your teammates wisely or who you associate with. That goes for eating too. Me and Robbie had to separate from each other. Robbie and a whole bunch of us, he used to take us out every Wednesday night. I mean, it's chicken night, rib night. But soon everybody was getting bigger and bigger, almost busting. Okay, anyway. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Making up with a friend you have offended is harder than breaking through a city wall, it says a common English version. If you offend your friend, it's hard to be friends again with that person. It's very difficult. If they think you offended them, you said something about them, they're not going to trust you again. Some brothers that come by, they start talking about other pastors. You think I'm going to tell them about my problems? When they start talking about the other people and their family, and they have no right to talk to me about the other pastor they come from and their family, what's going on there. I ain't going to talk to them about nothing. No way. So I could be offended, but I, you know, hey, listen, they're going to be here only for an hour. A friend offended is similar to having like this wall. So when someone forgives, you know, when someone does something, you need to forgive and put it away. So your friends, sometimes you have to watch who you hang around with, because not everybody, you know, is going to be nice all the time. So if they're always being offended or hurt, walking around hurts, all of a sudden you can pick that up. So watch that. Let go. Matthew 18:21 says, let everything go. Ephesians 4:32 says, forgiving one another, even as God forgave you. You didn't have to work for it. He just forgave you. So forgive that person. They don't have to do anything for you. Just forgive them. Four, there's so much to say in all these things, but we just have to just move on. Number four, always strive to have a clear conscience. Always strive to have a pure conscience. The Apostle Paul said he always intended to exercise a clear heart. In the book of Acts 20, verse 24, 16, he says, I exercise myself to have always a clear conscience, void of offense towards God and towards men. We need to exercise ourselves to have a pure conscience towards everyone, that we're not going to have any bad feelings about anything. Brother Hagin, you know, he used to teach us this. He said, you know, when people say something to me, they can say bad things to me on the internet or write things about me and say things about me publicly. I used to come to church. I used to go to meetings in the city where with pastors would speak against the word of faith in our city. And I'd be in the same room with them. It's hard being with 50 men that's against the word of faith. I don't know if you understand my situation, being in the city, being with these guys that didn't like us, and they would say to us in front of their people, don't hang around, don't read Brother Hagin's books or Kenneth Copeland and so on. And, you know, today where we're at the, you know, at the lawyer's office, and they ask it, so what kind of church is that anyway? What kind of church are you guys? I said, I don't want to offend you, but, you know, you ever heard of Kenneth Copeland or those? Oh, yeah. He said, well, we're the same kind of people as those. There's no denomination called Kenneth Copeland Association in Canada, or, you know, because they wouldn't understand Rhema because they don't understand that, you know. But sometimes, you know, you have to have a good conscience. No matter what people say, Brother Higgins said, just forgive people. Don't hold against them. Just forgive people. Keep your conscience clear. So thank God. In conclusion, no matter how close we walk with God, no matter in life, it's not if offenses is going to come, it's that they will come. They will come sooner or later. We all have to be prepared for it against the enemy, being trapped or being hurt or being offended. Having a good conscience, having a good defense against all these things is going to help us not be hindered in our walk with God. We can enjoy the blessings of God. We're not going to be captured. We're going to be free to do what God wants us to do. Let's go ahead and stand up and close with prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Father, we thank you that we're not going to let anything hinder our hearts tonight. We will get into the Word of God and prepare our hearts and not be taken by surprise that offenses are going to be there. People, there's going to be chances that we will be offended. We're not going to be taken back by the fact that even we will offend other people. Forgive us when we have offended other people. We pray for all those people that who have offended us. And so, Father, we ask you to forgive them. Because we forgive them, you said you'd forgive them. So we don't hold any animosity, any bad feelings, or hurt, or resentment, or grudges against anybody. We thank you. We want to walk in your blessings and be free and not be hindered, tracked down by the enemy. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we release all the hurt, all the memories of being hurt, no matter who or what has happened in our lives. And we will walk in freedom, not to be captivated by the enemy. So we thank you for the blood of Jesus that washed us clean tonight. We can go to bed with our conscience clear that we are not holding on to grudges. And every time we look upon them, if we have a bad feeling about it, we say, thank God, that's been erased. And thank God I'm not offended. I don't walk by how I feel. I walk by the love of God. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen.